This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
What is this church going to look like? Is the Holy Spirit going to pour out one last revival before He comes? My message this morning, the last revival. The last revival. Heavenly Father, I come to you asking you to send the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear and to give me lips of fire. And Lord, the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, cleanse the vessel, cleanse our ears, cleanse our being so that we can receive the word with faith. Lord, this word means nothing unless we come by faith. We have to mix the word with faith, you said, and we mix the word with faith. I believe what I'm preaching this morning. I believe it with all of my heart that you're going to move one last time before you come, that there'll be a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to Isaiah 54, the 54th chapter of Isaiah, and just leave it open on your lap, if you will, please. Please don't read ahead of me. You'll try to find my message. It's there, believe me. The 54th chapter of Isaiah. All right, look this way, if you will, please, and give me your good ear. Now, we have heard in recent years of things that are happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. When you read the word, we're warned that there will be false prophets coming, rising up, leading many astray. There'll be wolves in sheep's clothing in the church. And the Bible says there's going to be wickedness, and because sin abounds, the love of many will grow cold. We learn from the scripture there's going to be powerful deceptions to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect of God. We hear of great apostasies coming in the last days, of cold love, floods of iniquity. And we even hear Jesus say, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? But what Jesus meant, because he knew what was coming on the earth, and he knew that there would be a great awakening. He knew all of that. But what he's saying, will you too, he's talking to his church, will you grow weary of me? Will you faint in your confidence in me when you see things not apparently happening the way you believe it should happen? When you see what seems to be weakness in the church, when you see all of these things coming, when you see homosexuals trying to hijack whole denominations, when you see the wickedness and the vileness, the blood being flown on our streets, and the shootings in schools and colleges, and you read and hear all of these things that are happening, and the heart begins to cry out, oh God, when will you act? When will you do something about the situation, not only in the world, but in the church, what is called the church? The prophet Isaiah prophesies a great worldwide awakening just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. I believe that, as many Bible scholars do, that the 54th chapter of Isaiah is a very clear prophecy for our generation. Now, some can call it a dual prophecy. In other words, it focused primarily, many believe, on Israel, natural Israel, when they were taken captivity and now they're released. And this is a promise, many believe, and I receive that this is a dual prophecy. But the Bible also says that these things are written in the Old Testament for our example, as teaching to us upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, Paul the Apostle proves that this is for also the New Testament church, for the last day church. Because when you go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, he quotes from this chapter when he talks about the New Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. So he focuses in on the 54th chapter of Isaiah as being a prophetic message of promise, a sworn message. God swears by the mountains and by everything. He even swears by saying, I made a covenant with Noah. And he said, he swears by the covenant, as sure as I will not cause floods again on the earth, I'm telling you that there's going to be an awakening. I'm going to come back and woo my church. Also, I believe the proof, the reason I want you to believe or to see, and I'm trying to persuade you that this is for today, that it's not improper exegesis to look at this chapter as being a promise for us today who live in this generation. And I thank God for it. Now, if it had to do only with natural Israel, this is what was supposed to have happened. They will break forth on the right hand. This is in verse 3. They will break out on the right hand and the left, and their seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities to be inhabited. They have not inherited the Gentiles. That prophecy has not been fulfilled yet, because from the time that prophecy was made until the time of Christ, they went from 42,000 Jews that left Babylon, and up to the time of Christ, there were only 3 million Jews on the face of the earth. That promise has not been fulfilled. That did not start being fulfilled until Christ came. God's chief concern in the world today is his church. He's not focused on the economy. He's not focused on the roaring of the heathen. He's not focused on what is happening in the world events today. He listens to all the roaring. He listens to all the threats. He listens to all of the wars and rumors of wars. He's aware of it. He is in full control. He still rules and reigns. The scripture makes it very clear. He said the nations are but as a drop of a bucket. He said there is a grain of sand. Now, the world is not just running off in chaos without God being aware. He sits as king of the flood, the Bible says. He sits there king of the flood. But his focus is on his church. He said, don't you touch the church. He says that to the devil. He says it to every imp of hell. He says it to every ungodly person, ungodly movement. Do not touch the apple of my eye. You touch the apple of my eye, you touch my church, and I will act. And God's great concern today is his true church. Psalms 2, verse 4, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers and others take counsel together against the Lord. They take counsel against my anointed. They say, let us break their bands and cast away their cords. In other words, cast away all moral hindrances. Cast away all moral landmarks of the past. Cast them all aside and let us come into this new liberty and freedom of the flesh. And the Lord says, but he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in contempt. Oh, thank God he has everything under control. God has everything under control. You can listen to the news and there can be a fright set into your spirit, but you've got to come back to this. And I quote it all every time I can when I hear bad news. God has everything under control. Say it with me. God has everything under control. Do you believe that or don't you? Then why should we fear?
Should be no fear.
Hallelujah. They say that secularism is destroying evangelical religion in Europe. It's been said Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Homosexuals are going to take over the church. It's said the Church of Jesus Christ is growing weaker and no longer has an impact on society. Now that's what is said. It's said by the world. It's said by secular society. It's said by wicked forces in the world. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, on Christ the solid rock, he has built his church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. What are you saying? Let hell open its bowels. Let hell open its gates. And everything that comes out, all vile things, everything that comes out of hell will have no impact eventually on the church of Jesus Christ. God is going to bring us out of it, and he's told us it's not going to matter. Let hell do what it please. It cannot destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. The truth is, the church of Jesus Christ is going to experience a last revival. Isaiah promises it. He said that you will break forth on the right hand and you will break forth on the left. You will witness God's people enlarging the tents, stretching forth against all, stretching into further no limitations, lengthening the cords, gaining strength, raising up many children. That's the promise in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Now let's get into this chapter and look at it. Now, I know some of the godliest people that I know in my circle of friends that have received this chapter as a personal revelation to their own lives, because it's an incredible promise, because these bodies are also the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we talk about an awakening, we talk about a last revival, I'm saying that whatever we say this morning concerning the church concerns you and I as individuals. And more I read of Isaiah 54, the more the Lord builds the foundation under me for faith. He said, I'm going to build your foundation with sapphires. He said, and I'm going to give you gates or windows of pearls and precious stones. And those are insights into the heart of God. These are windows into God's heart. And the foundation is our faith that we're going to need in the days ahead. And he said, but first, and this is the first thing I want you to comprehend in verse 4. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed or confounded or reproached. Is it in your Bible? Verse 4, fear not, you shall not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. These are times, beloved, that we've got to lay hold of a kind of faith that drives out all fear. God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. The economy right now is shaken, and there are frightful signs ahead. And we hear all these things from the secular world and from postmodern religious circles and denominations and bloggers on websites. Now I don't have a computer, so I'm not into that. But I read about all of the bloggers, and you hear this, that the Church of Jesus Christ is so weak that all these forces are coming, and there's a fear that, and books are being written, Islam is going to take over England, Islam is going to take over the world, and Christianity is dying. Don't believe it, my friends. He said, no, you're not going to go out. The Church of Jesus Christ is not going to go out in fear and shame and reproach. This is what the prophet is saying. It's not going to go out in reproach. It's going to go out in victory. Hallelujah. Then in verse 11, I want you to look at verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundation with sapphires. Afflicted, tossed. Now listen to me, please. Look this way. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make this real to your heart and to mine. I want this to be something that when everything in the world is being shaken, I can lay hold of this. Because the Bible said, if you believe the prophets, you shall be blessed. This is the prophet Isaiah. I believe this prophet, and I want to receive the blessing of his prophecy. So you have to do that with a step of faith now. Follow it through in the world and let's receive it. You can have this promise hidden in your heart. You can lay hold of it, yes. No fear, no reproach, no shame. You see, he's speaking this also to those who have failed God, who have fallen into adultery or fornication, or they've had problems with pornography, and they hate their sin, and they feel shut out from the Lord. They feel the shame, and they feel the reproach, and there's fear that enters in, because when you get involved in these kind of addictive sins, it causes terrible fear, fear of exposure, all kinds of fear. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to have a people in the last days if they'll come to me. If you will just turn your heart, and I speak to anyone in this congregation, anyone who hears me on tape or video or any other thing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever problem you face, whatever sin that has hounded you and bound you, if you will come, because the Holy Spirit's moving now in a powerful way, not just in thundering Mount Sinai messages, but they're coming from the merciful heart of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to die for those sins. And he's saying, yes, you can have these promises and still be tossed and still be afflicted and still face tempest and still know times when you're not comforted. There are many Christians here now, many believers hearing me now in this congregation. You can apply this to your heart because you're under affliction, you're tossed with a tempest and not comforted. You can know loneliness. I received a telephone call from a wife yesterday and saying, please pray for my husband. He says he can't make it. Our 3-year-old daughter just died of cancer. And the pain is so bad. And the wife said, Lord's given me grace. I've received grace for this. But my husband is not able to handle it. And she pleaded, will you please pray for him? Lovely Christians, lovely believers. And they have understood this. No fear, no shame, never be confounded. But now they find themselves in this incredible tempest. I'm thinking of another pastor who I've mentioned once before or twice in this pulpit, and his little baby died, and then his precious son accused of murdering 2 people. And he gets up every morning with this dark black cloud hanging over his head. Yes, the Church of Jesus Christ can be in these last days tossed and afflicted with a tempest and times when you don't find anybody can comfort you. You have no one with a human voice that can, you can unburden your soul to. You live in that world of loneliness and still having these promises in your heart. No confusion. And you see, you've got to hold on to your faith. You've got to believe. Now, I pray for this brother, but through all of this, God is building in all the tempest in the body of Jesus Christ. He's building a foundation. He's building people with faith who are going to be able to help others when the really hard times come. Because this is not the swelling of Jordan. And we're just running with the horses now, but a flood is coming, the Bible said. And he said, if you can't run with the horses, what are you going to do when the flood comes? And he's trying now to build up people with good running shoes and running feet and strength that have been through the fires and through the flood and been delivered by faith so that they can stand up in this flood that's coming. And they're going to have these windows into the heart of God. Those that have suffered and come through it know that God has given you greater insight to the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, I want you to look at verse 16. Behold, I've created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Now, folks, this is one of the incredible thing that God is saying. He said, God's saying, I want you to picture a blacksmith, and he's got bellows blowing his fire white hot, and he's got metal there, and he's got his hammer, and he's pounding out instruments of war. And God says, I created the smith. The smith is the devil, Satan. And he has a fire, white-hot fire going in hell's shop, smith shop. And God says, now, wait a minute. You can see what's happening now. He is forming weapons, instruments of destruction against my church and against my people. And God says, I want you to think about it. Instruments, weapons of warfare against the church. And he said, I created the smith. In other words, he was an angel at one time of high standing, of power and authority in the heavens, and he was cast down. And he said, I created him, and I can squash him. I created him. And he said, yes, he's going to come at you, and he's right now pumping the fire hot, and he is putting out weapons of destruction against the church. But then he says, look at this, verse 17, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, he will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God said, let him make weapons of warfare. Let him put out an army of demons. He's making weapons just designed for you. But the Bible says, not one weapon formed against you shall find its mark. Not one weapon shall bring you down. Not one weapon shall prosper. That's a glorious verse. My goodness. I want you to follow me now into verse 17. Well, we see that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Paul said that the Lord cherishes his church as a husband cherishes his wife. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. I speak concerning Christ and his church. And then Isaiah verse 5, for thy maker is your husband. You see, Jesus Christ was the creator of all things. The Bible says all things are created by him and for him. And he is married to his church. His church is his bride. But you see, something has happened. The scripture says, all things were created by him, and the church is his, and he's loved his church, but his bride has left him, separated. And the Bible said she is separated by her sins. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, the sins of the postmodern church, the modern church and the postmodern, in our present time, right now, Bible makes it very clear, the sins, the iniquities have caused you to be separated. God says, I didn't leave you, you left me. God said, I still love you. And that's the essence, that's the centerpiece of the prophecy. It has happened just like prophesied in the scripture to the church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of religion without power, despising the gospel of their fathers, tearing down old moral landmarks, changing God's infallible word to suit modern times. Yes, this is why Jesus Christ, the presence of Christ, has had to draw back and hidden. I challenge you to go into any city. Now, in this city, God is doing the work, and there may be some exception to it. You go to, especially in the South, you go to Texas, for example, go to Dallas, go to Houston, go, and you will find exceptions to what I'm about to say. But I challenge you to go from church to church and find a church where you recognize the presence of God when you walk in, and you hear it in the singing. There's an awe. There is a manifest presence of Jesus, something that stirs your soul, something that glorifies Christ, and there's something rises up in you, and you recognize the presence of God. I challenge you to do that. When I've been on vacation time, I've gone to churches. I've gone to Pentecost. I've gone to Baptist. I've gone to many churches incognito, and I sit in the congregation, and I wait for some place in the service where the Lord will appear, where there'll be at least one tinge of His presence, one breath of the presence of Christ. And you find leave, and I'm not condemning, but it's a truth. And God help us, like I've said, if we don't have the presence of the Lord, this theater will be sold and let the building go where it please, because without God's presence, without the presence of Jesus, and because of the sins and iniquities of the modern church, the Lord has had to withdraw His presence. He's withdrawn. He said, for a season, I have withdrawn from you. But God has not divorced the present day church. No matter how wicked, no matter how evil, He said, I have not divorced. He said, show me the divorce papers. He said, I have not divorced you. Thus says the Lord, where is the bill of divorce? And that's in chapter 50, Isaiah 50 verse 1. Where have I put you? When did I put you away? When did I sell you to a creditor? Show me the papers. He's saying, this marriage is not hopeless. This marriage is not over. I still love you and I want you back. He's saying that to the church. He's saying that to the backslidden church. He's saying it to the backslidden individual. He's saying it to those who have not been in communion with Christ lately. There's been a wall between you, and there's been a kind of a separation. I want you to know that Jesus is saying about you, no matter what you did, no matter what you're bound by, if there's any godly sorrow, if there's a desire to return at all, the Lord says, I love you and I want you back, and I'm going to draw you in mercy, not wrath. And you, when you come, He'll not condemn you. He'll not reprove you. He'll anoint you with His Holy Spirit and give you power where you had no power before. Somebody say amen. For thus says the Lord, Isaiah 52:3, you have sold yourself for nothing, but you're going to be redeemed without money. You will be redeemed. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. For a small moment I had to forsake you, but with great mercies I'm going to gather you. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer. Now, there's a scripture, and I have to bring this to you. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And this proves that the 54th chapter is for our day. The Bible says about Christ when He was crucified, He said, He shall see His seed. The seed are children, children. Then He goes on to say in the next verse, and He shall bear the sins of many, the transgressions of many. Now, this is a part of the prophecy of the 54th chapter. Jesus Christ shed His blood, and the prophet Isaiah said He is going to see His seed. And I'm telling you now, and lay hold of this, it'd be something to make you shout in your soul. If you can't shout outward, if you're too timid, shout something in your heart. Those nails that went through the hands of Jesus were made on the devil's anvil with his fire. He made those as instruments of destruction. That sword that went in his hand was made on the devil's anvil in the shops of hell. And folks, all it did was bring forth the blood that was sprinkled on nation after nation. And I tell you, the Bible says that He shall see many seed. He's going to bring them in from every Arab country, from Israel, from the Jew, the Gentile, all nations on earth. He shall see His seed. That's the promise of Isaiah. I believe the prophet, He shall see. He said, he shall make atonement for many transgressors. China, India, the multitudes of China and India. You say, well, how is it going to happen? Is it just Holy Spirit just going to come down and suddenly everybody going to turn to the Lord? No, he's not going to overlook sin. He's going to shake nations. Something has to precipitate this move of God. And folks, it's very, very clear. I'm going to give you proof of what I'm saying because I'm not trying to drag this. I don't want to get right to the point. We hear of sudden destruction coming on the earth. Now, I know that there's going to be a time of tribulation. There's an antichrist. There's tribulation. There's so many things out there in the book of Revelation. But this revival that I'm talking about, this last revival, is going to be precipitated by a shaking of all things, the Bible says. There's going to be, I don't know what it is, but the Bible says it so clearly, suddenly, in 1 hour and 1 day. I've mentioned that and preached about that from this pulpit a number of times. So have others that have been in this pulpit. But this is going to be precipitated. And here's what the scripture said. Let favor be shown to the wicked. Isaiah said, let favor be shown to the wicked, and he will not learn righteousness. The Bible said he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of God. This is Isaiah. He said, when God shows goodness, and folks, we've been in a goodness call. The world is right now in the greatest prosperity in the history of the earth. In the history of the world, the greatest worldwide prosperity is here now. And the Bible says, in a time of prosperity, they will not hear. I hear of people praying about revival coming to America and the world all over the country. There are people praying. There are groups in Washington, D.C. praying and other very godly groups believing this. And I'm telling you, it can't happen as long as the spirit of Babylon and greed grips the nations and this prosperity is keeping people away from the heart of God. It's not going to happen until the pocketbook is affected. It's not going to happen until the spirit of Babylon is stricken. The Bible says, listen to very clear, Isaiah then went on to say, when your judgments, O Lord, are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will then learn righteousness. Do you hear it? When the judgments of God are upon the world, I know there's some of young couples here and young people. No, there's said they're kind to me, but I can overhear some comments. Brother Dave scares me. You know. No, this is hope. Live or die, we're the Lord's. We're not to live in that fear. And the whole purpose of the church of Jesus Christ is to, he said, when you see all these things up, look up and know your redemption is drawing nigh. The Lord is coming. This is not gloom and doom. It's a message of hope. When God moves and shaking, everything can be shaken. This is the greatest act of mercy God can give the world. It's mercy. Glory be to God. That Babylonian spirit is about to be broken. The Babylonian spirit is ease, prosperity, greed, and security. It's been the same in every generation. Ancient Babylon was conquered 5 times by various empires. But there's a spirit that's been in the world, and God always brings it down. The great revival in the mid-1850s here in New York City followed the collapse of the stock market. The stock market collapsed. The next day, churches were filled in New York City of those turning to God. A revival swept all through America because in the judgments, men learn righteousness. There's one last thing before I close. This is longer than I like to preach, but there was a scripture I have never understood till now. In the last days, according to the second chapter of Acts, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And now we're getting reports because especially coming out of our contacts in the Mideast, Arab countries, of literally hundreds and hundreds of people getting visions of Christ. It's just widespread now everywhere. I never, all my lifetime, all these 55 years of preaching, I've said, God, where is that? I don't see here. And in the last few years, and especially this past year, it's widespread. Seeing visions of Jesus. Jesus Christ has revealed himself in incredible ways unheard of. One last word. In this church, it's happened. And it's going to happen in this city and all over the world. There are not enough evangelists. Oh, we need more. Jesus himself, the labor, harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. The Holy Spirit is going to be outpoured in unusual signs and unusual revelations and dreams where Christ reveals himself. I've not been much for dreams, but when I see that in Acts, and it hasn't happened yet, now we know the coming of the Lord, these things will all be fulfilled. There's a brother in this church who was the third largest high priest, the third ruling high priest of the devilish Santeria demonic religion in this city. He was the third highest high priest. In fact, his territory was the Bronx. For 25 years, he served the devil. For 25 years, his apartment full of bones of human beings and sacrifices to the enemy, and trying to get into churches and steal the sheep, those that were weak and those who were unlearned, and going from church to church and totally demon-possessed. He went to a church once, and a manifestation of demonic power so great wrestled men and pushed men aside. And an absolute selling of body and soul to the devil. But one day, Jesus began to tug at his heart, like Saul in the New Testament. And he got uneasy, restless. And he was sitting in his room one night, and you'll hear the rest of it tonight because he won't give his testimony. But I just telling you, I talked to him before the service. He's in our security force here. He walks me back and forth sometimes to the apartment. And he was telling me this. And he said, Brother Dave, I was the third highest high priest in this city for years. And he said, I'm in my room. And I said, Jesus, I don't want you. And that night, he said, if you have more power than the devil I serve, then I want you to reveal it to me tonight. And then that night, he found himself in his dream on a train going to hell, going through a tunnel on a train. All these trains are going toward hell. And he realized then he was hell-bound. And the train came out of the tunnel, and Satan was there. Said, "You've been faithful to me. Now I'm taking you on to your eternal resting place." And he said, "Suddenly, a cross appeared. This is a cross." He woke up. There's more to it than that, but the cross appeared, and Satan vanished. He came out of that on fire for Jesus. Went and cleaned all the dead bones out of his apartment and all of the witchcraft and everything else. Been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's active in this church through a dream. He's one of the sweetest men you'll ever meet. I didn't know anything about this, but he was walking me home the other night, and that's how I heard his story. And I said, I stopped him just before I went in the apartment. I said, "So I see Jesus in you." He talked to me after that. He said, "Brother Dave, you don't realize what that meant to me. After 25 years of serving the devil, you see Jesus in me." Folks, the day is coming. The whole world's going to see Jesus in us all over the face of the earth. Will you stand, please? Anyone ask you what we believe at Times Square Church? We believe in a great revival coming to the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, many will turn away, but multitudes are going to come breaking out on the right hand and on the left. But now I want to speak in the closing hours of the closing moments of the service. I want to speak to those personally who need a revival. Those in the annex, those upstairs and downstairs here in the main auditorium. This is a promise to you. And I would challenge you not to walk out of this service till you settled with the Lord, because there'll never again, I doubt there will ever be a time when there'll be so much grace and love and presence of Christ where you can respond to the call of the Holy Spirit. God says, I want to remove your reproach. I want to remove your shame. I want to remove your confusion. And I want you to bring your troubled soul. Just bring your troubled heart. Bring it to me and believe that I will love you through it. I will show you mercy. I'm not going to let you run from me anymore, because I love you is what he's saying. I've seen what you're in. I know your battle. I know your struggle. Folks, we're good at hiding things, putting on facades and faces. But God sees the heart. And he's not going, oh, I see you, I caught you. No, 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 no. He's saying, here, I'm reaching out telling you, there's no use running because I love you, and you can't outrun my love. You can't outrun my love. No matter where you go, I'm going to be there. Amen. I invite you to get out of your seat and come and say, Jesus, I'm coming back. I need you today. And he will bring peace to your heart. Up in the balcony, go the stairs on either side and come down. And in the annex, just step forward between the screens so you don't block the view, but just step forward. And I'll pray for you while you're there. And the rest of you, while they're singing, come and join. The Holy Spirit speak in your heart. Come and join us here. We'll pray and believe God for a miracle for you. But all those that came forward to pray with me, now I will lead you in this prayer. I will give you the words that I'm asking you to pray, but that's just the beginning. That just opens the door. That's all. Then that's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come and do a new, fresh work in your heart. So pray this with me right out loud. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. I come to you and to your love for forgiveness. All my doubts, my fears, and all the things that I've done that grieve you, God. Forgive me and purify my heart. Give me a clean heart and a clean mind. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done to show your love. Now keep me from the power of Satan. I trust you and I believe you that you hear my prayers. And I pray to you now that you hear and answer as I cry. Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, it's written. We know that he hears us. We know that we have the answer. Lord, will you help us to believe that you answer this kind of prayer and you answer the cry of our heart? Lord, many are in a battle. They're in a tempest. They're going through a terrible time, some with temptation, some with family problems, some with mental, just mind problems, thoughts of the enemy and fear and finances and so many other things that hurt and wound our spirits. Now, Holy Spirit, will you help us all to just cast all our care on you right now? Would you pray that out loud? Jesus, I cast my care upon you. I put my problems on you. Give me a spirit of joy and bring peace to my spirit, into my heart and my mind. Now just thank him. Just thank him. Pray that in the annex as well. Lord, we give you thanks.
This is the conclusion of the message.